as the Team of the Season SBC is finally here. Jamie and I discuss the massive market movements and have an Argentinian striker face-off. All that on this week's Foot Weekly. Hello and welcome to Foot Weekly 40. I'm here with Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Jamie, also known as @foot_economist on Twitter. And he's here to provide insight in what's quite an interesting time. Expected not much to happen this weekend, but things definitely have. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a minute. But I hear you've been away, enjoying the sun.
Yeah, I have.
Virginia Beach, is it?
Not Virginia Beach. We went down to where I'm originally from and went to the Jersey Shore. So I don't know if you've heard the stereotypes about Jersey Shore, but we are not on that mm-hmm. Jersey Shore, the one with the reality TV show that is so notorious, but we're on another one that's much more family friendly.
Okay. Nice. Sounds good. Let's talk about what's gone on in the last week. There's actually just kind of one big thing, basically. Mm-hmm. And that is, finally, we've had a SBC which requires Team of the Season players.
Yes. Yes, finally. So we have the tradable and the untradable Team of the Season packs. SBC, rather. The untradable has an 83 squad rating with 30 chemistry, very similar to a Team of the Week requirement. And then the tradable Team of the Season SBC requires two Team of the Season players, and then as well as an 83 rated squad and 30 chemistry. So similar to the untradable, except now you have to put in two Team of the Season players. And obviously, just like a Team of the Week SBC, this is having pretty drastic effects on the market, which has been really interesting to see happen.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, we've obviously seen this significant impact on Team of the Season items. I mean, mm-hmm. not just the low, obviously the low end being required, they've gone up a little bit, but then quite a significant drop to those top end Team of the Season players.
Yeah, no, a huge drop. You know, just to throw a number out there, I think you could say some of the top end guys dropped between 30 and 40%, which was, you know, obviously really dramatic. I think some people were a bit disappointed to see the value of their clubs and their super teams drop by that much. But also at the same time, you had people rejoicing, you know, who are now able to afford some crazy teams. And then sort of combine that, you know, moving away from the top end guys, the lower end Team of the Seasons, a lot of them moved away from discard. I think the cheapest that you can find right now is 27K for an 87 rated Team of the Season card. And I think that even goes for some of the silver guys, which you could actually snap up really quickly. If you were able to get them early before the market really had time to react, you could get some of the silver Team of the Seasons and the bronze Team of the Seasons, because you can submit one of them. You could get them for really cheap, but now they've, you know, since then have gone up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually worth, you know, noting for next year, I suppose, right. in a way. Right. And actually, I think it's always been the case that those bronze and silver players haven't reacted quite as quickly. So this is obviously something which I'm not sure whether everyone anticipated it, although it was quite high on the list of things that would happen.
Right.
But I think it got, you know, we got so far into it that people wondered whether it would ever actually happen. And it has come to kind of fruition, if you like. What I was kind of interested to hear from you is, you know, what is the reason for the sort of really significant drop in prices? Is it just kind of coins being taken on the market, off the market, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, it's that. And then I think, you know, to your point, every time there's an SBC like this, their value is essentially leaving the market in some way. But there's also, I think people were basing their valuations of players and high-end players off of current, like, volume levels. I don't think the market was anticipating that this was going to happen. I think, you know, the classic, like, oh, FIFA 17 is dead, blah, 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 had sort of become like a sentiment that was coming into and sort of permeating itself throughout the community. And I think what happens when you have that sentiment is that people look to make their end game teams, say, okay, this is pretty much it. I'm going to, you know, sort of make my team, have my fun, and then this is going to be it. So people were shifting really all of their demand, if they hadn't even done it before, all their demand to the high-end players. And I think they were surprised that that this was going to happen. And I think it sort of caught the market off guard. And I think that's why we saw it drop so much, it combined with the fact that we're losing value off the market.
Yeah, and I think it's just interesting, especially in terms of the players that were released on the Tuesdays. So the smaller team of the season players, some of them were actually quite expensive. You look at people like Giuliano, who I mentioned last week, also, who's another good example, Quaresma. Mm-hmm. These team of season players weren't out that long. And that actually, I think those have had a really significant impact because there's actually not really high demand for those players because they're not in the top leagues.
Right.
And those players coming out of these team of season packs, which obviously they have done because they're not the kind of really like low card weight players,
mm-hmm.
Has really kind of dropped their prices quite a bit.
Right.
Whereas other players have also seen a drop who were just kind of, I guess, maybe overpriced. And this kind of... what it did was just wake people up to the fact they were overpriced and they've dropped players like Mertens and people like that.
Right. Yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. And I guess in terms of how those prices are going to evolve, you know, for someone who's still looking to buy players or maybe even to sell players to make a new team, I think there's a number of things you have to consider right now. The first is that the current weekend league requirements that we have are, they require having at least three silver players in your starting 11. Which is, you know, obviously any time that there is restrictive weekend league requirements, as we've talked about before, that requires you to shift your teams around from the usual. And anytime you shift your teams around, churn causes people to, you know, list players for cheaper. And, you know, there's sort of chunks being taken out of the prices of players that will usually only stick around for a couple of days. So combine that with the fact that we have people doing the team of season SBCs, I think that you're going to see a pretty significant drop in prices towards the end of this weekend. And then, so that could be a good window to buy. I would sort of shy away from selling in this period. If you're during like Monday, Tuesday, if you're going to sell, I would sell actually on Thursday of this coming week, when team season rewards are dropped. I should clarify, on Thursday there's usually when rewards come out, especially when there's hefty rewards like team of season rewards coming out, there's usually a window right after rewards are released where people are looking to just sell the players that they got in the rewards, and sort of liquidize that and then shift it onto the players that they want. During that hour or so, whatever it is, sometimes it's closer to 45 minutes because they listed them at prices to sell. And when that happens, that's actually a good time to buy because they're listing them at prices to sell and you can get them for pretty cheap during that time period. But mm-hmm. after that, when people sort of have inflated wealth or more wealth rather, because, you know, they've just gotten all these really expensive rewards, prices actually tend to go up for a little bit and people are saying like, okay, now I have all the money I need, and they can actually overpay during that time. If you're not looking to sort of finesse that and time that, or you just, you know, you don't want to bother sort of trying to time the market, you could always sell on Friday, early Friday, just when people are buying for the weekend league, and then buy again on, you know, the following Sunday when people are selling off their teams or whatever. So
yeah, I certainly think we could see quite a bit of activity on the market next week because it's the last weekend of the team of the season rewards, and we don't know what the rewards are going to be the following weeks.
Right.
But obviously, if this is the last weekend to get team of the season players in those rewards, then you could see people really kind of making purchases above and beyond what they perhaps normally would, because there's also the monthlies as well, and that'd be the last weekend to get into that next bracket.
Right.
So that's probably worth thinking about.
Right.
If you do have, say, like 4 million coins, you're interested in team of the season Neymar, Legend Vieira, and a few others, just asking it for a friend. You're saying that probably the best time to buy would be tonight if you're listening Sunday evening or Monday.
Monday, yeah. And if you really want to get you know, fancy, and or if you miss this Monday Tuesday window, there's always the option to go on Thursday right after rewards. But again, you're going to be battling with a lot of other people. And if you miss that, say you miss that window as well, there is always, I think, to your point, this is the last weekend to have these high powered rewards and get the monthlies. So after that, I think people are going to sort of maybe ease off in terms of, you know, the types of teams they're looking to make. And, you know, they might not necessarily want to just make a very competitive team. And maybe they'll shift to something more casual or, you know, fun with maybe skillers or something like that towards the end of FIFA. And I think you might see some decently high churn at the end of this upcoming weekend league. As you compare it to other weekend leagues. So that could be a decent time to buy players like that as well.
And it's interesting. So in terms of investing, someone actually tweeted us to say that on our advice that they'd picked up a load of 83s or I think it was 83s, 82s, 84s mm-hmm. In previous weeks mm-hmm. And had obviously made bank mm-hmm. over yeah. the last few days with the prices yeah. going up. Are we going to see, I feel like we have to, I think we're going to see those players, well, the cost of the SBC overall rise. I mean, we're not going to see the huge pack openings we've seen over the last couple, presumably over Friday.
Right.
Saturday. So I don't see how the market's gonna supply that many more cards to get the price of the SBC down that much.
Yeah, that's really interesting actually. Especially, I mean, based on previous examples that we can sort of compare to what we have right now. For example, the One to Watch SBC is a very similar situation to what we have with these Team of the Season SBCs, and throughout that the requirements for those One to Watch SBCs actually rose in price as the week went on, because the market initially had sort of like a stored up supply of the players that were for those requirements. You know, for example, myself, I have a bunch of 83 through 82 and even 81 rated players in my club just sitting around from opening weekend league rewards. And I've just been burning those to open the Team of the Season rewards. But eventually I'm going to have to buy, you know, as you said, the 83 through 81 rated gold players. So yeah, I agree. Towards the end of the week, I can see that I could definitely see those players rising.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the interesting thing about the comparison between this and the One to Watch is that when you had the One to Watch SBC, there were lots of those winter One to Watch players which were quite cheap in packs. So obviously everyone was just they were coming out of packs whether through SBCs or they had quite low card weight basically, so there were loads of them around, and they were constantly kind of coming off people's packs they're opening. Whereas at the moment, the only Team of the Season players that are in packs are actually the ones that are really, really valuable and you would never submit for this right. SBC.
Right.
So what I think, as well as those 83 rated players increasing in price, I think around 83 rated players increasing in price, you probably also see the Team of the Season players increasing in price.
Right, the low ends, right?
Yeah, the low end Team of the Season players. And by that, kind of nature, you know, the SBC should get more expensive, and actually maybe you won't see quite the level of decrease on these Team of the Season players this week. Until maybe you get to Thursday, and then with those rewards from this weekend, obviously you'll have loads more Team of the Season players.
Right.
Combine that with the fact that you've obviously got a ton of people who have been put off by the high price of the SBC, maybe mm-hmm. going in to do it at that point. So as you said earlier, that could be a really interesting time to maybe look at kind of flipping players or even doing the SBC yourself if you're interested.
Yeah.
But moving back to kind of the supply of Team of the Season players, there is one thing which, of course, will create a supply of Team of the Season players, although we're not sure whether it's tradable or not. That's the Team of the Season reward this week.
Yeah, so similar to other weeks, EA are going to be doing a daily knockout with a Team of the Season reward again. But this time around, they're being a bit mysterious. Instead of naming the player that we're going to be getting, like they usually do on Fridays, they're saying that there's just a Team of the Season player. It's not, you know, you're not winning a specific player, it's just a Team of the Season player. And there appears to be a pack icon. So there's a number of theories about what that could be. I think the most likely of the theories is that it's going to be a untradeable Team of the Season player that is similar to the untradeable Team of the Season SBC pack that you get. I'm holding out hope that it could be a really valuable Team of the Season player from the EA Team of the Season. They just haven't released it yet, and they're waiting to, you know, build up the hype or something like that. I doubt that's the case, unfortunately. Yeah. And I also doubt that it's going to be tradable, because that would be a massive influx of coins onto the market, because that tournament really is not that difficult to win. So something to look forward to. Could be an interesting week. Oh, and to clear it up, there are no entry requirements for that tournament. So bring your best, bring your sweatiest.
Yeah, and also next weekend, I think there's no requirements apart from maybe a training item requirement. So
yeah, correct.
Makes perfect sense for that kind of to happen, because people are obviously building their final teams for people to be able to use them, I guess.
Right, yeah.
In terms of Team of the Season as a whole, we think at the tail end, it looks like everything's going to wrap up over the next week or so. How have you kind of rated it overall? If you gave it a rating out of 10 as a promotion this year, when you consider the promotions we've had across the year, how would you kind of rank it?
Okay, well, if I had to rate it compared to the rest of the promotions that we had this year, it was probably going to be a 6. But if you were to compare it to promotions that we've had in the past, maybe compare it to other Team of the Seasons, it's more of like an 8 or a 9. I think the reason I give it a 6 compared to other promotions that we've had this year is because I do think that they could have done more in terms of bringing out daily content, surprising us, you know, maybe flash SBCs every now and then. I think the weekly reward SBC was a tad underdone. I think they could have had heftier rewards for that. You know, we haven't seen the pack yet. Maybe the pack weight on that's going to be crazy or something like that. But you know, to get one team this season that's going to be likely untradeable, I think it is untradeable, when you could just turn in a squad with 80, like an 83 rated squad, and get the same thing, is a little underwhelming. And I think one thing that the community really has gotten used to, or, and you know, maybe we're spoiled, is like daily content that is surprising, that is new. And I think the sort of very predictable release of the next team, while the players were really interesting and fun to use, sort of let the community down. I think they also waited a long time to do the Team of the Season SBCs. I think it makes sense in terms of controlling the market. But I don't know. It felt like maybe they could have made it a bit more short and sweet. I know they have to, you know, they fill up time towards the end of the game cycle, but I don't know. I think it has a lot of potential. I think that's one of the main takeaways for me, is that it has a lot of potential going into next year. I think the things that they could add are, like I said, the daily content that could surprise us in some way.
Yeah, I think I agree to an extent that it's been maybe slightly disappointing. I mean, you saw earlier this week some of the big influencers on Twitter saying that, it's been a disappointment so far. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of question, you know, you always have to question the motives behind people saying these things.
Yeah.
These are obviously people who make their living out of foot, and the fact that there weren't Team of the Season SBCs yet, which would undoubtedly drive huge numbers of people to their streams and videos, mean that I suppose it's kind of understandable that they'd be disappointed. But now with the Team of the Season SBC, it'd be interesting to know how much their opinion has changed. And I think from a personal perspective, partly just because of the Daily Knockout tournament, I've actually enjoyed it. I maybe give it a 7 or a 7.5 because in terms of playing games, the Daily Knockout's been really fun. It's been like a challenge, but not too difficult, which has been nice because of Foot Champions overall being pretty tough. And also, I can't really play Divisions and Foot Draft at the moment for some reason because my connection just doesn't really work, which I think I mentioned last week. So that's been really fun to do those. And then I think some of the Team of the Seasons have been really good. Like, you've had some really interesting players. I think there's been a bit of a lack of good novelty skillers, which I've been kind of disappointed about. Obviously, you have Quaresma, which is great. But some of the silvers have been slightly disappointing in that sense. I thought you've only really got a few leagues where there are really good silvers. It would have been nice to have seen sort of EA been a bit more savvy maybe with the players they gave Team of Seasons. I know that's not necessarily the criteria, but we know they've bent things a lot this year, so I wondered why they didn't in that department. But yeah, no, I think it's been overall good. But as I think the key thing is that this hasn't been a surprise. That's been the biggest thing. A lot of people over the last few weeks have kind of predicted this. I've definitely predicted it. And I think that has meant that people can only be disappointed when they're only getting what they expected. Yeah. If you compare that to Footmas, which was totally unprecedented, you're never really going to see people love it like they did Footmas.
Yeah.
And it also brings into question how things are going to go next year with people being aware of what's happened this year.
Yeah.
How are they going to up their game? How are they going to bring the same levels of hype?
Yeah.
But hopefully they still throw plenty of surprises at us.
I mean, I know that, I don't know if they've had this in the past, but they do have like a team now that is working specifically on, and I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's headed up by Yashir on Twitter. You know, his I think, full-time job is to come up with, you know, how to roll out content like SBC. So I would imagine that he would be able to get creative with it, and I hope he'd be able to get creative with it so that it wasn't more or less a repeat of last year. Because, like you said, it'd be a bit stale. It could become a bit stale. So, yeah, I mean, that dynamic could be really interesting in FIFA 18.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're probably ready to move on to a bit of post, actually. And this kind of relates to what we've been saying about for Champions being quite tough across the whole year. Craig Mousen emailed us in. You can email us footweekly@mail.com. He basically says, after his 346th attempt to qualify for the weekend league and being soundly annihilated by a 90-rated Premier League team, he had a thought that maybe there needs to be a Europa League of foot champions. This is something I've seen mentioned quite a few times, and I think this really kind of hit home to an extent because I do feel for people who've been in a position where it hasn't been easy to qualify and maybe they haven't really qualified. You know, he says, I'm not saying reward mediocrity, but we all play the same price for the game. So would it only be fair? I feel that we should get to enjoy every feature the game has. I kind of agree with him, but I'd be interested to know everyone else's thoughts before we maybe have a full discussion about this at some point in the future. So if you'd like to get in touch on this topic, what solution could be found for people who are maybe less able of the game, should we say, for them to enjoy Foot Champions? Because obviously you've got to bear in mind the way Foot Champions works with rewards, etc. I mean, theoretically, the rewards would have to be worse than what you get for getting bronze, which is obviously not particularly good.
Not
so,
great, no.
Yeah, how they'd work that is interesting. Do send us your thoughts at footweeklypod on Twitter or footweekly@mail.com, as I said, and we'll discuss that in a future week. Apologies for not getting to more posts this week. We just want to keep this one a bit more concise, partly because we're restricted by time, but also because we've had some real bumper weeks over the past couple of weeks. And as we've not got quite the amount of content to cover this week, we thought, why not give you something short and sweet to be getting on with. And I think on that note, we're ready to have a little break and we'll be back to talk about the team of the week very briefly, man of the matches very briefly, and team of the season, rest of the world very briefly. But we have got some quite significant reviews. Two Argentinian strikers who have really, really done the business for us. So do look out for those in the second half. See you in a bit. Well, welcome back. It was quite the break, actually. It involved me taking your Vieira from you. voluntarily, obviously, but I needed Vieira. Jamie was looking to get rid.
Yeah, we completed a trade. I upgraded to Hullet, and I listed at a favorable price my Vieira so that you could pick him up.
Yeah, perks of the job, eh? Discounted Vieiras. All sorts. And actually, yeah, had very nice banana bread as well. All in all, very successful break. And I think we're ready to go into some less successful teams briefly, actually. And quickly, before I do, just a little point about the pod generally. Although we'll be looking to continue the podcast, of course, we're going to be looking to put it out not quite so regularly because basically there may well be less content. So we'll probably look to put it out when there is content, when we kind of have a discussion topic we want to talk about. For example, you know, the post that I mentioned before. But what we would be interested in is if anyone has experience of design, can do graphics and things. We're looking at kind of doing a little rebrand for FIFA 18. So anyone who wants to get in touch and kind of help out, we'd really appreciate it because none of us are particularly good at that sort of stuff. And also on top of that, if you have any ideas for guests, do get in touch. And of course, if you are a potential guest yourself, then let us know. Or if you're sort of friends with a potential guest, then again, just get in touch. You can do that via the Twitter, @footweeklypod, or on email, footweekly@mail.com. Cool, let's crack on with these less than exciting Team of the Week squads before we get on to our reviews.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. Why don't we kick things off with Team of the Season, Rest of the World?
Yeah, I mean, it's never expected to be particularly groundbreaking. You're not really going to normally get any players that are extremely easy to get into teams. But I think this is a particularly difficult one. The players that are easy to get into teams maybe aren't the ones that you necessarily want. Kind of the most obvious one, I suppose, is Sinclair. Obviously, he's English, but he's got 2-star weak foot. He just doesn't look that exciting. And although he's kind of decently strong and, you know, has okay dribbling, I don't know, he's not really kind of caught my eye necessarily. And there's a few other players in there which are potentially good, but maybe don't quite live up to, I imagine wouldn't quite live up to expectation and aren't competitive at this stage. Buonanotte, I know, is quite a kind of fun dribbly player, but again, doesn't have the strength or the kind of stamina to back that up. There are a few kind of tanky strikers who just aren't going to be competitive at this stage as well, like Hararu, like really well-rounded, excellent shooting. Same with Berg with 95 shooting. Berg, possibly usable with Hunter, but again, like he doesn't have the skills or the kind of profile to really work at this stage. Same with Paredes. He could be quite fun though with his like very good dribbling. And then, I mean, the one player that I think could be competitive, although very hard to fit in, is Augustinsson. He's a left back, Swedish guy. He looks good actually. And he could link up to Jorgensen, who's a team of the season centre back at the same club. So that's potential. And then the other one, more obvious one, is someone that many people will recognise from previous years. And I think you wanted to just quickly highlight Serna.
I mean, Serna has been one of my favourite players, especially last year when there was the no chem glitch. And you could pretty much assemble any team that you wanted and not have to worry about chemistry. I used to use Team of the Season Serna, and he was one of my favorite players back then. And he returns this year with a halfway decent card. He is a member of the All-80s Club, so always good to see. Hopefully he stays in that All-80s Club. He's too classy to not be in that All-80s Club, I think, is my takeaway. Yeah. If you put an engine chemistry style on him, he actually is really solid and makes up for some of his weaker stats in the balance and agility category, and he looks really solid. So I mean, obviously someone that's really difficult to get into a team, but if you can have him as a super sub, he's not a bad option for 32k.
Yeah, and I think the other option there who does look good is that Jensen team of the season. I got his player of the month or player of the year, I think it was, very early on when they were doing those, you know, you had your David Villa and he was one.
Yeah.
He was very cheap. I think I did him for like 10K. But that seems sort of ridiculous because I've probably paid 5K per appearance, I reckon, because I don't think I've used him really at all. But this card looks very good, very well-rounded. It's it's better going forward than defensively. But, you know, it's pushing that all 90s actually just below that on most of the kind of attacking stats, then defending just below 80. So he could be a kind of similar to Serna, maybe less defensive version as a sub. Right. Could be good. And then the player I was going to mention is someone who I think looks very good on the card. I mean, Tyson, the left mid, he's got, I mean, four-star skills is great. Obviously, three-star weak foot is maybe a little bit disappointing. But on the, you know, stats-wise, if you put sniper on him, he basically maxes out on his shooting. He's only got a few stats below 99, shot power, long shots and finishing. And then on sprint speed and acceleration, he's almost maxed out at 99 acceleration, 96 sprint speed. And then he's got 99 agility anyway. He gets 99 balance for sniper, 93 reactions, 99 ball control, and 99 dribbling, as well as really solid short passing. But I really don't think he'll play nearly as well as his stats suggest. He's only got the three-star weak foot, as I mentioned. And then he's got medium work rate, which I don't think is ideal. And it's the physical that kind of lets him down. He's got 83 stamina, but at this stage, I don't think that's competitive. 73 strength, definitely not competitive. I mean, you could boost that, but actually you lose a lot on his finishing, because if you do that, because you know how physical and finishing are quite hard to boost in tandem, you lose a lot of finishing. His finishing is only 85. So yeah, and he's got 66 aggression as well. So I don't think he'd be nearly as good as he looks, and 75 composure could mean he's slightly suspect in front of goal, as I was kind of mentioning. So one to maybe steer clear of, but if you do use him, do let us know, because I may well be wrong about that. Cool, so let's move straight on to the team of the week. Obviously, David Villa leading the line. It's a very silver-bronze feel to it this week. There's some okay bronzes and silvers in there. But Alessandrini is the kind of player of note, because weirdly, his last card with a silver card, just a regular silver, 74, but this card is an 80.
Yeah, it's strange. He is currently the only 80-rated gold inform because of that odd anomaly.
Yeah, and the weird thing is that Gale, who was previously the only other 80-rated inform, actually there might be another, but he's the one that springs to mind, but he actually got an upgrade to an 81. And the reason why he got an 80-rated gold inform is because he had a 74-rated silver inform. So the upgrade goes that you go to 74 inform, and then you go to an 80 inform when you become a gold. But in Alessandrini's case, his last card, if you like, was a standard silver card. So he shouldn't really have gone up to an 80 inform. He should have just been a 74 rated inform.
Right.
So they obviously maybe thought, oh, we need to put it above that 77 rated gold card. But they didn't upgrade from that card. They've clearly upgraded from his silver card. It's a really bizarre situation.
Really odd.
And it was a shame, because he would have been an amazing silver card. And he's now looking like an okay gold card. And actually, the other thing about it is that you look at Ben Arfa, who also got a downgrade, but then got his man of the match afterwards, and some of his stats are actually not upgraded on his original card on his man of the match. It's all very confusing. But yeah, basically, what I'm saying is they've bucked the trend to give this guy a gold card.
Yeah, that's quite odd. Doesn't surprise me with the fact that this team of the week would have been really, like, bad if they didn't have him. It's not great already. It's
just, yeah, he's not improved it that much. And I wonder whether the fact that there'd been, like, a silver, a really, really high-grade silver in a weekend where we had the silver requirement. I mean, I think they kind of missed a trick there, to be honest. Could have seen him going for a ton if he'd been a silver card, and especially you know, last weekend. And actually, when I was kind of seeing him in predictions, I was like, oh, it'll definitely be a silver because I want to cash in on the fact that you know, the silver weekend league. But I mean, yeah, I don't know whether he'd really sell many packs. I'm sure he doesn't. So it would have been nice. And obviously now there's no chance of him having a special silver, which is a shame. Yeah, so let's move on to something maybe slightly less convoluted and complex. We'll go straight into looking at these Man of the Match items. There are some really good ones, actually. Obviously, Arturo Vidal looks great. And actually, yeah, he was already in the Hullet gang, but this card really cements his position as probably one of the better Bundesliga centre mids, despite obviously not having a team of the season card. Yeah, looks really good. And then you've got Pepe as well, who's quite interesting because there aren't really any good Portuguese centre-backs. So he's, obviously the best. Whether his pace will live up to or be acceptable at this stage, he's been a very, very good card in previous years. And then the more budget option is, of course, Leon Goretzka, I think it is, the German Schalke player, who actually does join Arturo Vidal in the Hullet gang. And looks very well rounded. In fact, I used his 82 rated card, and he was very good. So I think that card will be excellent. He just lacked a little bit on everything to put him up there as a proper competitive player. So I think he'll be very good and worth a quick go, or a lengthy go, depending on how much you enjoy him.
Yeah, considering the team of the week, it's actually a pretty solid selection of players there. And it's something to look forward to, is that we have this Confederation Cup. You know, and they could do a team of the tournament for the Confederations Cup. So, interesting cards to look forward to.
Yeah, 99 striker Ronaldo, of course.
Yeah.
One last hurrah for EA's earnings for FIFA 17. Quite possibly. Let's move on to the last part. We're going to review two players. And actually, they're both Argentinian strikers. Slightly different in price, although actually your man is not too pricey at all, even though he's the more expensive option.
Yeah, so the guy I'm looking at here is, and I'm sure many of you are probably going to be able to guess this, knowing me, if you follow me on Twitter, is Team of the Season Icardi. He is incredible. I moved away from him for a little bit. I actually picked up Dybala, and he was acting as my left striker for a while with the pair with Higuain, and Dybala was working really well, but... Ben came to me the other day and suggested that I try out Team of Season Icardi because he had played against them, and I think you said he scored 6 goals against you.
Yeah, he scored 6 goals. It was ridiculous. It was in the knockout tournament, actually. I mean, I don't think I was really concentrating that hard. It was one of the early rounds, so that's my excuse. But like, I started playing after he scored 2, and I still couldn't stop him. I mean, you're probably going to say, but he just felt like he would score any opportunity that I gave him.
Yeah, he's incredible. So, like you said, his shooting is incredible. That's one of the first things you'll notice about both these Argentinian strikers the Higuain and Icardi pairing, is that you can pretty much shoot from anywhere, and they will put a worrying shot on frame. And that's just something nice to have in your pocket, especially if you're playing against a defender who is, you know, clogging his back line, keeping a lot of defenders back there. You just need a little bit of space. And whether you're going to shoot it through someone's legs or whatever, it's going to be a competitive shot. And I mean, obviously, if you look at his stats, that's clear to see. If you put something like, at the end of the day, you're not really going to need to boost anything else besides his pace and his passing. So Catalyst is probably the best chem style for him. If you boost up his pace with a Hunter or a Catalyst, he's going to a supposedly 99 pace, 99 acceleration. I'll talk about that in a bit, in ways you can sort of utilize his pace. But, you know, obviously going through his shooting stats, he's got 99 finishing, 96 shot power, 83 long shots, which are much better in-game than they say on the stat, 93 volleys, 89 penalties. His passing stats aren't great. His short passing's fine. 99 short passing's decent. 99 vision with the catalyst. You're not going to be crossing with him. He's not the best, and his free kicks are pretty bad. His physical stats are the thing that I've noticed the biggest difference between his latest inform and this team this season. He is significantly stronger than his. He feels significantly stronger than his previous team this season. Both were pretty strong players. The one thing that maybe you could, if you were being particular, the one thing that isn't great about him is his composure, 74, and his aggression is 47. But other than that, he's a fantastic player. The one sort of odd way that I've found out how to use both of these strikers, Higuain and Icardi, is that if you play a through ball sort of directly at them, I mean, for those that don't know, the mechanics with the through ball, if you play a through ball, the striker, the difference, one of the main differences between a through ball and a regular A pass, aside from, you know, the direction and the placement of the pass, is that if you play an A pass, generally the player will turn around to receive the ball, whereas if you play a through ball, they will keep facing the same direction that they're running in. So if you play a through ball right behind Icardi, or like right at his back, and then hold LTRT when you're receiving the ball, you can actually really, like, you can control the direction of his first touch really well, and it'll take a very big first touch. And then because his agility is really high, you can actually then take a second touch while, like, the ball is in the air or while the animation for that first touch is still going. And you can sort of shimmy your way around the defender before he even, like, knows what's happening. And you're still, all the while, you're still running in the direction of goal. So you can sort of, the way I play my counterattacking styles, I sort of just shoved up the middle. And I just try and glitch it around the defenders with these, like, through balls that are coming through the back. These no-look receiving through balls with these weird first touches. Honestly, it's one of the weirdest-looking, most unrealistic kind of mechanics that I've seen in FIFA this year, but it's pretty effective.
That's pretty insane. So, it sounds, like, slightly broken in a way.
Yeah, it is a little
bit. It'd be interesting to see, like, a clip of it if you post it on Twitter. I guess people can have a look at that. Sure. It's like, what is it going to, at @foot_economist, isn't it?
Foot_economist.
Yeah, I've said that so many times. I'm surprised that I stumbled it. Yeah, no, he does look amazing. Like, and obviously, as I know, I bear the scars of Icardi. He's a really, really strong striker if you could deal with that two-star skills.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
And actually, talking about dealing with skill moves, this actually links to my player, because many of you will know I really avoid using three-star skill strikers, even because I rely on beating players with at least a bit of skill. I'm not amazing at trickle dribbling, which is probably one of the reasons. But yeah, Benedetto is the Argentinian striker I'm selecting, and he is really cheap. He's about 30k, but what you get for your 30k is pretty outstanding. I mean, just going through his stats with Hunter, I'll just quickly go through the acceleration and shooting. 98 acceleration, 99 sprint speed, 99 positioning, 97 finishing, 99 shot power, 96 long shots, 94 volleys, and 94 penalties. Yeah, and he's got 99 heading accuracy as well. So in terms of the shooting and pace department, you're kind of completely sorted. And the kind of stats he has to back that up are excellent as well. So he's got 90 agility, very decent ball control, just above 85 for both of those, 86 in fact, looking at it, 87 reactions as well, and then his passing is kind of averaged across about 80 for pretty much everything there. So he's perfectly capable, although his free kicks aren't great at 71, but that's not so important. And he's got 99 jumping. He is excellent in the air, actually, and he's got 77 aggression, which is kind of doable. I've been surprised to see the 70 composure on him, because he doesn't feel like he has 70 composure at all. And maybe it's just because his finishing is so ridiculously good. He does have finesse shot trait as well, which everyone knows probably as well, that is something I'm a huge fan of. The combination of the five-star weak foot, which I think is crucial to how you can play with him, and that finesse shot trait and his ridiculous shooting and very good physical attributes make him like the perfect three-star skill striker in my eyes. And for 30k, it's just crazy. And I think the other thing to note about him is just, I suppose, the fact that people aren't expecting him to be good, or even if they're thinking, oh, he might be good, then they don't know what to expect from him. They don't know that he's got five-star weak foot. He also holds his position very well, because he's got high attacking work rate and low defensive, which is kind of ideal for a striker. But he does also get involved with the play, and he's kind of very good at linking it up. But I mean, the key thing is just, I think I hardly need to say anything, because if I just tell you his record this weekend in the weekend league, 33 games and 56 goals in a team.
Wow.
Bear in mind that I have 4 mil in the bank. So the team is not good, or is not expensive. He's completely outshone even El Shaarawy, who's obviously a real fan of, and Dybala in this team. And he's really easy to link up because there's another, there's two other Team of the Season players who you can link him with. Perez at his club, an 87 rated Argentinian centre mid, and a right back as well. Again, both are really usable and have solid pace and good work rate. So I would really recommend trying him. Just put him in a fitness team. He's really easy to get in, as I was saying. So and you're hardly going to spend anything. So yeah, I think that's pretty much my summary of Benedetto. He's a really, really, really good player. I really enjoyed him.
Yeah. Going back to your point about the players not expecting him, I think that's a huge deal. Like in terms of like a player being useful, is if your opponent doesn't expect them to be really like lethal. Or I think, I mean, the example that I can give is with Icardi. People don't expect him to be fast. Mm. Like they don't expect him to be like the sort of player that's going to burn you down the line.
Yeah.
But I've found times where like you can sort of, I'll let off the gas a little bit as I'm running down the sideline, and people think I'm going to start cutting in, but then I just quickly gun it again.
Yeah.
And I mean, most center backs won't be able to keep up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found that I can just run around players, like literally just run around them, because they're not really trying. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting for me to cut back. And then I get down to the line, I can hit a RBA across the middle.
Yeah.
And to your point, it really is like, if you're not expecting a player to be good, it's going to completely change how you defend them.
And I think at this stage of the game, you know, if you're a player who doesn't have so many coins, looking for these kind of players can be a real, real bonus, I think, at this stage. And people will underestimate you, no doubt. I mean, I know I did with that Icardi. And it was also his agility as well. You don't expect from a player like him as well.
Right.
I mean, on that quite interesting note, I think we're probably ready to actually end the podcast. So just quickly to say, do subscribe if you haven't already. And if you're any good with a design, do get in touch. We'd love you to be involved. And if you've got any ideas for guests over the next few months, or you are a guest yourself, then do get in touch as well. Have a great week. And thank you very much, Jamie, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you very much, listeners, for listening as well. See you next week. Bye.